You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Tyrrell Hatton becomes the first man to successfully defend the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship.
You know, it's great to win again, obviously get a load of confidence from that. So, you know, hopefully I can take this form into the rest of the year and push on up the Race to Dubai.
We'll be joined by Tyrrell Hatton later on in the show. Meanwhile, it was an English 1-2, with Ross Fisher claiming second place after creating history with a final round of 61.
You know, I birdied 6, birdied 7, birdied 8, and then kind of caught fire a little bit on the back 9. And yeah, it was a shame not to birdie the last for 60, but hey, I'm not going to complain too much at 61.
Back in third was another player with some impressive scoring, France's Victor Dubuisson.
Playing 63 the last round of the Dunhill, you know, it's always something special. Played really solid all week, but today all the putts, like, you know, between 3 and 10 feet went all in.
Coming up, we have a full review of a historic Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, and we look ahead to the Rolex Series Italian Open. Lots to get through, so stay with us. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined by the legend that is Ewan Murray. Not often said, Ewan, that. Not often said.
No, and it makes you feel old, but I'm glad to be here.
I see your chest puffing out. It's very nice. So it's always been a fantastic event, the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. The pros like it. It's a break from the normal 72-hole stuff they do. They get to play with amateur partners. It seems to suit everybody.
It does. I've spoken to many amateurs, some from stage and screen, some from the business world, all say the same. An amazing week for them, amazing experience. And to be fair, the pros helped them along throughout the week as well. Three very difficult courses, but a great success.
What's your favourite, Carnoustie, King's Barnes or the Old Course?
Carnoustie would be way ahead of the other two for me, but of course, historically, the Old Course.
Yeah, you can't beat St Andrews and the Swarcombe Bridge and everything that goes with it. So the final round, Tyrrell Hatton teeing off, a comfortable lead, a lead you probably should win from, but it's not always simple.
No, there's only one way to go when you're five in front, because everyone expects you to go ahead and win. I think the start is very important, and he had a hiccup early on, but he managed to get over that very quickly. An astonishing round from Ross Fisher. And not just Ross, the 63s from Dubuisson, 65s and 6s were 10 a penny.
They were. The scoring was outrageous. It was a very calm day, and I suppose on links courses, when the wind doesn't blow, that's its biggest defence. With the greens that are holding, they will go low, and they just took it apart. Yeah, Ross Fisher, thinking about 59, doesn't seem, even with easy conditions, it doesn't seem that that's on the cards.
No, but wouldn't it have been ironic if the 59 had come at the home of golf?
Yeah, that's true. The first ever 59 on the European Tour. We've had him in a challenge tour, but not on the main tour, and that would have been absolutely incredible. Tyrrell Hatton must have had a bit of a shock seeing Fisher come at him from way back.
Well, he's done everything right. He's thinking, if I get off to a good start, I can finish this tournament off before you get to the turn. And to be fair, the run of birdies he had in the middle of that front nine should have been enough to put everyone else out of contention. The round of Fisher's was one of the finest rounds of golf I've ever witnessed.
He had a go at that last. He had to wait a long time in that last tee, Ross Fisher, and he full tilt with the driver, very nearly got the ball up onto the top deck where the pin was. Then he really would have had a chance.
Yeah, very nearly made it. Just another foot. And then, of course, you have got an opportunity of rolling a putt in on a fairly flat piece of green. But I looked at all of the other shots of Fisher. It's easy to say 61, magnificent. He's always been a good driver of the ball. Mm. And because of that, he plays his irons from probably the right places. I've always thought he was weak in pitching and chipping, too wide. And yet I saw him play a pitch yesterday at 14 that was just right out of the top draw.
Yeah, top player, Ross Fisher, and a fine event. Ordinarily, he probably would have won it, except for the brilliance of Hatton, because 68, 65, 65, 66 around those three golf courses, twice at St Andrews, it's hard to top 24 under.
I think his 8 rounds for the two victories is 47 under.
You see, I knew you'd have another stat. Yeah. 47 under. Is that what he is?
23 and 24.
That's incredible.
Wins.
Yeah, that's incredible. So really, he must now be thinking to himself as one of the very top players in the European Tour, Hatton.
Well, I think this year's been good because he took America by storm over the first 3 months and he secured his playing rights there by winning enough money. Then he had a dip, and it's the first time he's had a dip in his career in the middle of the year. 4 or 5 cuts in succession were missed. And look at the way he's handled that. in a very good British Masters up at Close House. The victory here, the form at the right time. We're coming towards the tip in the race to Dubai. You'd have to fancy he's going to have a run right through there.
And it's a Ryder Cup year and all these points count.
Yep. And this week, Italy, Rolex Series, million first. You can really make your way into that side before Christmas, or certainly get yourself into a position before Christmas.
What a thrill that would be for Tyrrell Hatton. In fact, he tweeted, amazing feeling to defend the Dunhill Links. Fantastic round by Ross Fisher, pushing me all the way. Thank you, everyone, for all the support. That's Tyrrell Hatton. Ross Fisher said, wow, what a Sunday. Dunhill Links European Tour, gutted to miss on 18, but I'll take 61. He's quite right. Gregory Bordy said, 71 today on the old course. I finished fourth. Thanks a lot for this amazing event. So I like the fact the players are bigging up the tournament and giving back to the sponsor. It's good. Paul Dunn tweeted, Richie Ramsey, Thomas Bjorn. I should read out the Ryder Cup captain's tweet. Absolutely brilliant performance by defending champion Tyrrell Hatton today, not forgetting a great little chase by Ross Fisher. So for Thomas Bjorn, these are all good signs. He wants to see some of the young bucks, maybe new blood coming into his Ryder Cup side. Tyrrell Hatton be a good one.
So much has been talked in the States about the youngsters coming through there, the likes of Daniel Berger, of Spieth, of Justin Thomas, who have had remarkable years. Ricky Fowler still under 30. And we've kind of taken the shine off the young players that are coming through on the European Tour. And these things come in waves. They come in eras. And America's had a quiet time. They've now got a lot of youngsters and everyone looking forward to the future. Hatton is one of these. Fleetwood is another one I've asked, top young player there. So Matthew Fitzpatrick, you add to all that. We've got a lot of youngsters as well that are more than capable of going out there to France in just under a year's time and bringing that trophy back.
We shall see. I am, however, delighted to say that on the line is the most recent champion on the European Tour. It is Tyrrell Hatton. Tyrrell, what an amazing week.
Yeah, it was an incredible week. Obviously, it's my first experience of defending a title on the European Tour. And, you know, I was looking forward to the challenge and so happy that I could defend it and win again.
How did you feel coming into the week, form-wise?
My form felt good. Obviously, I had a disappointing weekend at the British Masters. But, you know, but my swing still felt good. And, you know, obviously took that into the Dunhill. And, you know, just the putter helped a lot as well. So it was sort of getting the rewards for hitting a lot of good iron shots. So, no, everything just clicked into place and no, it felt great.
You had a decent lead going into the final round, which sometimes can be tricky if you don't get off to a great start. Did your heart jump when you spun it back into the burn at the first?
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise how short that second shot went. I certainly didn't expect it to land just over the burn and spin back in. So obviously the main goal then was just to, you know, try and get it as close as possible and, you know, tap in. Only got the one shot and obviously played a really good chip shot and very fortunate to see it drop in the front door. And then, you know, got on a really good run after that. Hit a lot of good shots and had really good opportunities, I think, on pretty much every hole of the front nine. So it was nice. Obviously it's nerve-wracking when you go out with a lead, but I actually felt quite comfortable until later on in the back nine, to be honest.
Five in front, 18 to go, in control, all going well. Then someone decided a 59 was on the cards at the old course.
I know what a round that was from Fish. Now, I didn't see a leaderboard on the back nine till the 16th green. And
is that because you didn't or you didn't want to?
Well, they started taking all the all the leaderboards down, so I didn't actually
really
get a chance to. Yeah, so all the leaderboards are on the sort of on the front nine, if you like, and because no one was playing, they took all the stuff down. So yeah, I didn't see the leaderboard till 16th green and saw that he was only three behind. So I was like, blimey.
Well, okay. I tell you what, if there's a hole that you don't want to find out, it's 16, because then you've got to hit the tee shot at 17.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's when I actually, because like I said, I felt pretty calm, although it's nerve-wracking going out with the lead. It was when I got to the 16th green and saw, you know, he was three shots back, and obviously, you know, three shots is still a bit, but 17, such a tough tee shot. And it's certainly not a tee shot that you want to be waiting sort of 10, 15 minutes on, which is what I think quite a few groups had to do that day. But obviously in the circumstances, it sort of added to the pressure, if you like.
So with the pressure, Tyrrell, coming down the stretch, one of the hardest holes in golf, could you argue that your tee shot at 17 and your second shot were among the two best you've ever hit?
yeah, it was a nice feeling to look up and see the tee shot going straight down the middle. And then, when we got to the ball, Jonathan paced out the yardage, and we had 194 yards with a sort of a little bit of fraction bit of help, but mainly off the right. And, you know, we just thought it was a perfect number for a 6-iron, and, you know, just went straight at it, and luckily pulled off a good shot.
Oh, it was a fantastic shot. And then you had the luxury of just hitting an iron and making your way sedately up 18. That must have been enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I saw Fish tee off 18, and generally he hits it a bit longer than me, and he didn't get it up onto the green. So I just felt like there was no need for me to hit driver, because it just then leaves with a bit of an awkward shot. So I tried to give myself a bit of a fuller shot in. So that's why I hit drive and iron off the tee. But even that went 280 yards, which was a bit of a surprise, to be honest. So then I ended up having a slightly awkward number, but that's all right. But it was nice to walk up there, see we had a 3-shot lead, and, you know, you feel like you've pretty much got the job done, unless you have an absolute mare with you the second shot. But it was an end to a great week.
And you play with Jamie Dornan again for second year running. Now, I'm thinking you're giving him, you know, the big experience in the cauldron of a final round of a European Tour event 2 years running. I think he should reciprocate and give you a spot in a film somewhere.
Oh my God, I don't think that would go down too well. I think my acting would not be very good. I think we should stick to how it's been the last couple of years. But no, I really enjoyed playing with Jamie. You know, we get on really well, and, you know, we have good fun, and that's kind of what the tournament's about as well. And, you know, you have a bit of sort of team chemistry with the pro-am format. It's good fun, and it's worked out really well. And, you know, it's, for me, I've managed to play sort of my best golf in that format, and, you know, it's sort of staying relaxed, and hopefully I can kind of take that forward into the rest of the year.
You'll be looking forward to the continuation of this form in the Rolex Series Italian Open this week.
Yep. Yeah, looking forward to playing Italy. I played the course last year, so it should be a good week. Tree line course, which is normally the kind of courses I prefer visually. But no, it should be a good week in Italy. Another Rolex Series event, which is, you know, great for the European Tour. So, you know, hopefully you can keep that going, keep the form going.
Fantastic win, Tyrrell. You looked tremendous coming down the stretch yesterday, like you did last year. So we'll look forward to seeing you in Italy as well in a few days' time.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good man, Tyrrell, coming onto the show. Obviously tired after a fantastic week up in Scotland. He is the second player to win the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship twice. Can you name the other?
I'm thinking Harrington. He won the team event twice.
You're right.
Harrington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's a nice tournament to win that, isn't it?
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. The fact that you're standing by the steps in front of the old course, the clubhouse, the R&A, and you've got that green there and you've got the white fence on either side. And I mean, if you've been there once, you can picture everything that's around it. To be holding that trophy up there, wonderful moment.
You can almost pretend it's an open.
Well, you can, really.
You can, yeah. You need it. I'm sort of here, St Andrews, got a big trophy, it's a big tournament. I've almost won the Open. Almost. His win makes England the most successful nation so far on the European Tour. English players have won 7 tournaments. Spain is in second place with 6. Hatton was bogey-free for 55 holes. That's amazing. Beating Graham Storm's 54 holes at the BMW South African Open for the best total of the year. OK, let's hear now from the history man, Ross Fisher. His 61 was a new record for the old course at St Andrews, although he would have liked to have shot 59. That would have been another record. And while Fisher played immaculately, he admitted he got some help from the weather.
Saw the forecast and still a bit chilly, but there wasn't much breeze. So, you know, when you get St Andrews on a day like this, it's definitely gettable, but you've still got to go out there and hit the shots. And, you know, you've got to try and get off to a fast start. And I managed to make some good putts early on. I think I birdied 2, 3, 4 and then hit a lovely 3-wood into 5 and left it literally hanging on the lip to be 5 under 3, 5. But, you know, I birdied 6, birdied 7, I think, birdied 8, unfortunately poor drive on 9, and then kind of caught fire a little bit on the back 9. And yeah, it was a shame not to birdie the last for 60, but hey, I'm not going to complain too much at 61.
For you, a lot of confidence going for the rest of the season?
Yeah, definitely. You know, obviously I was 9th going into to this week, so fingers crossed that's moved me up maybe a couple of spots, which is great. You know, I've still got 4 tournaments to play in, and I've not been to Italy, where we are next week, but obviously really looking forward to China and Nedbank and Dubai, courses that I feel comfortable on, courses I've done well on. So hopefully we can finish the season strong, you know, climb up that Race to Dubai leaderboard and climb up the world rankings.
He likes his time of year. He had a couple of seconds last autumn and he's playing well again. He's a probably underrated player, Ross Fisher.
Undoubtedly, and he was outside the top 100 in the world, and then he found that form, as you say, 12 months ago in the autumn. He continued that all the way through to Christmas and beyond. And, you know, sometimes you have late developers, and Ross has had high points in his career. He was a member of the Ryder Cup side in 2010, but maybe the best of Fisher is yet to come.
It could well be. 59, would that bother him that he didn't quite make it? You don't get too many chances in your golfing life to do that.
He needed an eagle at the last for 59. Old Tom Morris is 351, 54 yards or whatever. Magnificent tee shot. I think if the pop-up sprinkler had been more in his line, he may have chipped the second one rather than putting. I think he would have had more chance of chipping in rather than a long putt. But, you know, 61, be a while before that's beaten.
Another player tearing up the course on Sunday was Victor Dubuisson, who had a final round 63 to finish third.
It was very special. Playing 63, the last round of Dedham Hill, you know, it's always something special.
What was the difference between the rest of the week today?
The putting. The putting, I played really solid all week, but today all the putts, like, you know, between 3 and 10 feet went all in.
Was 59 ever in the mind?
Yeah, of course. Of course, on 16, yeah, it was in the mind. I feel a good wedge shot, but I don't know, kind of a flyer from the rough and then 3 putt, but, you know, it's not important.
Well done, Victor Dubuisson. Streaky player, isn't he? When he's hot, he's incredibly hot, and then he's disappeared for some time. It's good to see him playing well again.
Well, you talk about Fisher playing well at certain times of the year. Dubuisson's the same. Remember, he played very well in Turkey a couple of years ago, so maybe he's someone to keep your eye on over the course of the next half dozen events.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he can keep that going, that's for sure. It's worth pointing out also that Jamie Donaldson and Kieran McManus combined, get ready for this, Ewan, for a closing 54. To shoot 40 under and win the team event by 3 shots.
Just the 18 under. I mean, it's what you expect, but Kieran's a very keen golfer. Jamie Donaldson's one of these players who can have a run of birdies as well. We've seen that down the years. But that gives you an indication of the scoring conditions on Sunday. 54 is remarkable, as is Fisher's 61.
And almost lost in all this is Tommy Fleetwood's 63 at Carnoustie during the week.
That, for me, would probably be the most impressive round, given the difficulty of Carnoustie. 64 has been the record there for many years. I remember Alan Tate was one of them some 20, 25 years ago, and that kept its place until Fleetwood went round in 63. It's an amazing score because if you look at the second shots at St Andrews, there's only 3 holes that don't have a wedge for the second shot with the modern ball. You look at Carnoustie and that's not the case.
No, that's not the case. It's a tough old track, Carnoustie. An amazing 63 when he'd been changing nappies only hours earlier as a new dad, Tommy Fleetwood. Before we move on, Ewan, can we have the top 10 from the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, please?
You certainly can. There was a 5-way tie for 7th. It was another Fisher, Oliver. Eddie Pepperell, good to see him up there, and that gets him his place in the Rolex Series Italian Open this week. Alex Levy, Luke Donald, back, good to see him back on the European Tour, and Paul Dunne, who of course won the British Masters last week. There was a 3-way tie in 4th, Robert Rock back on form, good weekend, 69-66, an even better weekend for Mark Warren, 67-66, and Gregory Bode joined them, slightly disappointing 71 on that Sunday. Victor Dubuisson, final round of 63, third all on his own. Fisher all on his own in second, but it was all about one person at the Alfred Dunhill Links last week, and that was the successful defence enjoyed by Tyrrell Hatton.
Now, in our absence last week, Ewan, 2 charlatan tipsters had a go at picking out the winner. John Hawksworth went for Shane Lowry, tied 25th, and Mark Warren, who tied 4th. Very impressive. Dan Roebuck, who spends hours and hours and hours looking at form, study, patterns, rhythms, he went for Chris Wood, who had to pull out, and to Bjorn Erlison, who missed the cut. So definitely a win for John Hawksworth with the Mark Warren tied 4th, that's for sure. In the Fancy Race to Dubai game, Hans Schooten's team, Golf Frenzy, had the best week, thanks to a team featuring Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood and Ross Fisher. But overall, Elizabeth H continues to lead the standings. Meanwhile, in our Race to Dubai show mini-league, the Sean Ryder Cup, listener Steve Johnson registered the most points this week, but once again, Neil Morrison is still top of the leaderboard. Remember to head to europeantour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch at this week's Rolex Series Italian Open. top 10, Ewan, in the Race to Dubai standings, please.
Well, as you know, it gets very interesting this time of the year. The winner of Tyrrell Hatton took him just outside that top 10 in 11th place. 10th occupied by Bernd Wiesberger, 9th by Justin Rose. Francesco Molinari will be looking forward to this week back in his homeland there. He's in 8th, McIlroy in 7th, and Ross Fisher said he wanted to make a move up that list. He's certainly done that. He's just outside the top 5 in 6th place. Into the top 5, Alex Norden, Rafael Cabrera Bao, John Rahm in 3rd place, and the top 2, Garcia and Fleetwood. Well, they're separated by just over a million points. John Rahm is very close to that as well. Fleetwood has a handsome lead, but for how long?
Yeah, the big, big tournament's coming up and it can all change. Now, in other news, at the Dutch Masters, American Clark Dennis claimed his second European Senior Tour title as he battled to a one-stroke victory, beating our very own Race to Dubai show's Paul Eales. The 51-year-old, in his first season on the European circuit after earning his card at the Senior Tour qualifying school in February, carded rounds of 69, 72, 70 to claim the title. And Paul Eales, by the way, said to me 2 weeks ago, "I'm playing so horribly, I might pack it in." And he nearly won, finished second.
That's why he finished second. He just wasn't playing at his best.
He just wasn't playing at his best. He said, "I'm hitting shots now that I've never, ever hit, like a foot behind it. Just awful shots." And he nearly wins. What a mad game. On the US Tour, American Brendan Steele finished with a 3-under-par 69 to successfully defend the Safeway Open. Absolutely incredible. Tyrrell Hatton does it in Scotland and Brendan Steele does it in the Napa Valley in California. The 34-year-old beat compatriot Tony Finau by 2 strokes. Top 10, Ewan, please, in the world rankings.
Well, not very much has changed. Sergio Garcia slips out to 11th. Kepka in 10th. Former world number one Jason Day in 9th. Henrik Stenson 8th. Fowler 7th. And McIlroy out of the top 5 in 6th place. The top 5 consist of the same top 5 that went into the final tournament of the FedEx in the United States. John Rahm, Justin Thomas at 3rd, Hideki Matsuyama, Spieth in 2nd place, but with a fairly handsome lead at the top. The world number one is Dustin Johnson.
Now, this week on the European Tour, we head to Milan, Golf Club Milano, to be exact, for the Italian Open, which is the next Rolex Series event. Francesco Molinari will be defending. Big, big tournament, Ewan. Big, big prize money now as it's part of the Rolex Series.
Huge, and of course it comes at such an important time of the European Tour season. Everyone's got half an eye on that Race to Dubai and the riches that go with that over at the Earth Course, but the groundwork has to be done in events like this.
Yeah, for sure. 4 of Europe's leading golfers will join defending champion Francesco. Masters champion Sergio Garcia is playing, so is Tommy Fleetwood, Alex Norén, Ross Fisher, John Rahm, Austria's Bernd Wiesberger also taking part on a tree-lined golf course. It doesn't matter what golf course they put up, really, because the prize money is so big. Go there, win a big check, and you can change your year completely.
You can, but I like this course. This is an old-fashioned golf course and 2 very different lanes. The front nine is tree-lined, a lot of dog legs, so I don't think you'll see many drivers used in the course of holes 1 to 9. The back nine's a little more forgiving. It's in a beautiful part of Italy. It's 18 miles northeast of Milan, not far away from the Monza racecourse. Beautifully designed. A lot of different questions it will ask. This is not about power hitting. This is about finding the right place off the tee, finding the right place with your second shots. And I suspect it will be a very enjoyable 4 days to watch.
Oh, now, you've just mentioned a word there because I wasn't sure in my time I'd been to the Golf Club Milano, but might we have referred to this as Monza?
Yes, it's in the Monza Park.
Ah, so I have been here then. I know the course. Yeah, it's very tree-lined. It's pretty.
Yeah, you've got to watch as you get older. Things slip by, you know.
Well, you see, I remember hearing the cars, like when I played in this, at this golf course, you could hear them warming up and testing.
The only noise you'll hear on this golf course is when there's racing at Monza. Otherwise, it's in the middle of a park, in the middle of a forest. Lovely.
Who have you picked out as the main contenders?
Young Jordan Smith from Bollwood Golf Club. I have a great affection for the way he plays, and I think we're going to hear a lot about Jordan in the course of the next few years. He's there, as is Beef, Andrew Johnson. All the fans will be happy to see him there. There's a rejuvenated Robert Carlson, started to play well. And Graham McDowell was quite good last week.
Yes, he was. Saw that. We all know he can play. If he gets back to something like he can do, he can be a contender. Maybe he's going to enjoy trying to thread something through those trees. You would think it's a straight hitter, Francesco won last year, that's going to do well here. Right, Ewan, who have you picked out? You can have 2 picks this week, as I've said. So who's your backup pick? Your value pick?
No, I'm going straight to my winner, and that will be Matthew Fitzpatrick.
He won a round, of course, Woburn, and that's a tree-lined, straight-hitting golf course.
Yeah, this is very similar. I fancy his chances.
Okay, that's Matthew Fitzpatrick, one.
My second one is Jordan Smith.
And you're going to go Jordan Smith. Okay, two Englishmen, they're on a bit of a roll, aren't they? First and second last week.
The Italians may have something to say about that.
They will, of course. They'll be cheering their man Francesco on, who also drives the ball beautifully. But I'm tempted to go for Francesco again. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go for Tommy Fleetwood, who didn't finish the week last week like he would have wanted. But the 63 around Carnoustie, if you're looking for a signpost to maybe someone who's going to have a big week, I think that's one. So I'm going to go for Tommy Fleetwood, and I'm going to back him up with somebody on the other side of the page that I saw, and his name is Alex Levy.
Good call.
So I'm going Alex Levy and Tommy Fleetwood against your...
Matt Fitzpatrick and Jordan Smith.
Oh, it's a plan coming together. It's really coming together. Should be a marvellous week in Milan. I'm really looking forward to seeing how different the course looks to how I remembered it all those years ago. It will be fun, and it will be noisy, as you say, from all the Ferraris bursting their way around that track. That's it for now. Next week, we'll have a full review of the Rolex Series Italian Open and look ahead to the Andalusia Valderrama Masters hosted by the Sergio Garcia Foundation in Sotogrande in Spain. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And do leave us a review if you're downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from Ewan Murray, who's gone for...
Matt Fitzpatrick and Jordan Smith.
And Robert Lee, who's gone for Alex Levy and Tommy Fleetwood, it's bye for now.